Can do Campbell. That's what they call you.
Really? That's what they call me? You sure about that?
I think you call yourself that.
No. Although I do believe that if you believe you can, you might be able to.
Do you believe in the singularity?
I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm not really sure what it is.
Then why are you asking me if I believe in it?
I think it means a point in time where AI becomes conscious. Or maybe it's the point where humans merge with artificial intelligence, or it's some tipping point to do with, the internet and, becoming immortal. Like Jenya Guida.
Ah, yeah, right. This is the woman that created the replica.
Right. Well, she
replica app. She or something.
Yeah, I think she did that after the fact. She was working on chatbots.
Right.
And artificial intelligence. And when her best friend died, she really missed him, and she thought, is there some way that I can use what I know about artificial intelligence to bring him back in some way?
Mm-hmm.
So she mined all her text messages, and she dug up all her all the contacts that they had in common.
Right.
And she asked them for text messages, and then she input all this data into the chatbot, and apparently... Apparently, it this chatbot has not just some of the memories, but some of the mannerisms, the idiosyncrasies, the attitudes,
right. So some of
the personality
would kind of be in there,
right.
So I guess talking with this or interacting with this bot would mimic in some ways the interaction that you would have had otherwise had that person been alive,
right?
Okay. Yeah, would you want to do that, like with a loved one that passed away?
Well, with you, I would do it.
I
would do it for the world, because then we could put you in an app, and everyone could have a little piece of can-do Campbell.
No, I don't want that. No, but seriously, like if your daughter or your wife passed away, would you really want to have that digital version to interact with still?
No, I wouldn't want to... Yeah, actually, I think I would. I think
would.
I would.
You would. I don't know how I feel about that.
You know, there was... when my father died, my mother kept, for a very long time, this message on the answering machine. And then she would listen to it over and over again. And, you know, it was kind of sad, but it kind of was like a little piece of him, that sound, something about that sound really... allowed her to connect, and me too. I liked listening to it too.
And do you think that helped with the healing process or the grieving process, or was it just like looking at old photos, that kind of feeling? Or old videos?
I don't know that it helped like speed things along or helped heal in any sense, but I think it made me feel good. I think it made my mother feel good.
Yeah.
And you know, same sad at the same time, a bittersweet sort of thing. But, so I think that I would want that, you know, if somebody close to me died, I would treasure any videos I had much more so than a photo.
Yeah.
And I think a chatbot maybe even more so.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to imagine, actually, I guess because I've never interacted with a chatbot. So I don't know what that experience is like.
I'm sure you've used poor quality.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But I mean, I'm imagining like in the future, let's say that you're able to create these very realistic digital replicas of people you know, or even yourself. You could actually create a replica of yourself.
Well, that's what Jenya's company does.
That's right. But it's still a very, you know... not a very technologically advanced in terms of what I'm imagining now.
Right. Well, it's
still just text, right?
I think it's audio.
It's also audio?
I think so, yeah.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was just text only.
Actually, I'm not sure, but okay. I had the impression that it was audio.
I'm like imagining an actual physical replica.
Uh huh.
Yeah, like a clone almost, uh-huh. but it's digital.
Uh huh.
And yeah, I don't know if I'd want to go that far.
Yeah, I think creepy. when you add that physical element into it,
yeah,
it would get a little scary.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this stuff is coming fast.
Yeah.
Like even in our lifetime, yeah. we may see things like that. So.
Yeah, I feel like you really have to keep up on technology or, you know, 20 years from now, you're just going to be lost. You're just going to be like a caveman that woke up from a time machine and you know, you can't even go to the doctor, you know, because
yeah.
it's all in the ether.
But yeah, like I it's exciting in some ways to see this type of, it's almost like a blending or a merging of humans and technology. But at some point, maybe this is,
I think that
singularity.
Defines the singularity, the merging.
Yeah. At some point though, it's almost like the identity of what it means to be human becomes very blurred, because then what are you if your consciousness is so wrapped up and enveloped in technological devices that are super advanced and smart and intelligent? It's almost like your brain is connected to a much larger source of intelligence, and then you're drawing upon that, and it's drawing upon your abilities, and then that becomes you in a way, and you become part of it. In a way, like the internet's kind of like that. We have our smartphones now. Look at how glued we are to them.
Well, Carl Jung would say that we're always connected to a collective unconscious,
yeah.
and that the internet perhaps is just an extension of that, and the coming singularity is maybe just another step down that line.
Uh-huh.
Of interconnection.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming fast. There was I saw in the news just the other day that they're doing tests now in San Francisco, and I would imagine they're doing this in other cities around the world. But they're testing these driverless cars, and right now the tests have live humans in the car as a safety measure. And maybe they're doing some experiments as well. I don't know. But people have recently attacked the cars. Like, humans have gone up and physically attacked the cars, I guess as a statement against...
Like, while it's driving down the road, somebody...
Yeah, like run up
at
and
it.
Throw their body into it, or smash the window, or that kind of thing.
Throw their body into a moving car?
Well, I don't know if the car was moving. Maybe it was parked.
Uh-huh.
But this was just in the news. And this has happened numerous times recently. And maybe that is a manifestation or a representation of people's fear towards what's to come. You know, like, machines are taking over. There'll be drones flying in the sky, and
I mean, is that
have
is,
this
is
fear,
that what
yeah.
these people say?
I,
or are
I
these
think
just
so.
Crazy lunatics?
No, I think this is a political statement. Yeah.
Hmm.
So, but it's out there, and it's going to be interesting to see as this rapidly progresses, and people will start losing jobs that they have because machines will do it better and more efficiently and cheaper, and
well, that's coming for sure.
Yeah.
And that's why they're talking about UBI, uh-huh. universal basic income.
Yeah.
That any society that wants to survive and not erupt into
some sort
revolt
of chaos
and
yeah.
chaos and they need to take care of all the people who aren't going to have jobs.
Yeah.
So so Jenya, she went on to take some of this technology that she worked on
mm-hmm.
with the app, the chatbot of her friend, and created a app called Replica.
Right, Replica. And so that's the app that anyone can use.
Yeah, and apparently it's to create a replica of yourself.
Of yourself. So by interacting with it, it's collecting data
right.
on you,
right.
what your thoughts and what your speech patterns are,
yeah.
Or language patterns are.
Yeah.
And it becomes more like you the more you use it.
Yeah.
And the idea is that...
You can talk to yourself.
You can talk to yourself. And become friends with yourself, right? And understand yourself better.
Get in touch with yourself.
Yeah, right. What if you fell in love with yourself? I mean, I guess that could happen to some people. Or you become addicted to yourself. That's a bit odd. Would you use this...
I would like to play around with it just to see how terrible or how good it is.
Yeah.
But no, I can't imagine getting into that.
No, it just seems like a total waste of time when you've got friends you can
talk to. But some people, yeah. though, yeah, I'm sure everybody knows people like this who love to talk about themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
So this would be a perfect opportunity for them.
Yeah. Yeah, actually have something, quote unquote, listen to them.
Yeah, have somebody super interested.
And ask questions back and tell me more.
But if it was a replica, it probably wouldn't want to listen to you. It would talk about itself.
It depends on how it's designed.
Right? I mean, if it was trying to mimic your personality and you're an egomaniac that loves to talk about yourself, you would hate this app.
Yeah, it would turn into
it would be a battle.
Yeah,
a battle to talk about yourself. No, listen to me. I got a better story. I've heard that story. It'd probably be like, I heard that story. Let me tell you this story.
Yeah, right.
When we were 8 and we were playing baseball.
Oh, man. That's really interesting.
But it would be great if it was able to mine. I've got a terrible memory.
Uh-huh.
And if it was able to come up somehow, connect with your unconscious memories, and then you could talk to it about...
Now, see, that would be quite useful, actually.
Yeah, like when I love getting together with old friends,
mm-hmm.
and I hear stories, it's like I'm hearing it for the first time.
Right.
It's like I'm hearing about like my grandfather or something.
Yeah, right.
So that would be great if I could talk to a chatbot and learn all about all the stuff I've forgotten.
Yeah, or a chatbot that mines not like your entire history of email and all your online interaction, including things that you tell it, and maybe it even... You know, minds with the permission of people that know you. It minds your interaction with them somehow.
Sells it to the CIA.
Yeah, right.
CIA's probably already doing that.
That's right. Yeah, interesting. So that was the one story. The other story was about
Martin.
It's like a transgender.
Right.
Person.
He was Martin, and then Martine.
Martine, right. And she founded a very famous media company.
Sirius Satellite Radio.
That's it, yeah.
So I think when she was still a he, at only maybe 20 or early 20s, he had this idea that if they could make satellites more powerful,
mm-hmm.
then the dishes could be, you know, they used to have these gigantic dishes.
Right.
And the receivers could be much, much smaller if the satellites were more powerful.
Right.
And apparently that was an incredible breakthrough idea.
Ah.
And that was what led to the advent of satellite radio,
mm-hmm.
which I've never used. I mean.
Me neither.
But I know it's a big thing.
Yeah.
And people have it in their cars.
Right.
And so Sirius Radio, I think he had something to do with the startup of that.
Uh-huh.
Because of his technological breakthrough.
Yeah.
So people say he changed the world with that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know enough about...
Me neither. Yeah, I don't know enough about that whole...
It certainly made him a multimillionaire at a very young age.
Uh-huh.
And then just a few years later, his daughter came out with a fatal disease, pulmonary...
edema or something like that?
Yeah.
Was it...
Something like that.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the amazing part of this story for me is the fact that she quit. She just dropped everything and started a new company.
Well, she didn't start a new company right away. She went to a library and started researching.
Okay.
And, you know, she worked on satellites.
Yeah.
So she must have been some kind of engineer.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden she's researching medical papers.
Uh-huh.
And she finds something and she thinks this maybe could save my daughter.
Yeah.
And then she founds a company, gets involved in some sort of negotiations to get the rights to some experimental drugs, develops it, uh-huh. and saves the life of her daughter and thousands more.
That's incredible.
I mean, you know, most people, they just leave it up to their doctor.
Right.
And then somebody super industrious might do some research and take it to their doctor.
Yeah, right.
But who does some research and says, I'm going to start my own company and make
cure
this happen.
Disease.
So,
wow.
So that was, yeah,
that's incredible.
That was the second time that, she changed the world.
Uh-huh.
And some people say she's on her way to changing the world with artificial intelligence and uploading not just the memories, but the, you know, the attitudes and the,
right.
the beliefs and the personality of people
right.
into robots.
Right. And she's starting with
her wife,
her spouse.
Right. Bina. And the robot version is Bina 48.
Bina 48. I wonder why she named it 48.
Yeah, I wonder. But do you know what electricity tastes like?
Do I know what electricity tastes like?
Yeah.
I haven't. It's been a long time since I stuck my tongue in the socket.
What does it taste
or
like?
Or bit down on a battery.
You bit down on a battery?
When I was a kid, I got shocked a bunch of times. And
really?
I used to make things with batteries and wires and like experiment with little engines and things
uh-huh.
like that. So
uh-huh.
yeah, I've been shocked. It's very metallic.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a metallic taste.
According yeah. to Bina 48,
uh-huh.
it tastes like a planet around a star.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's
not,
it's not what
I
thought.
It?
That's not my experience.
I was listening to this interview with John Ronson,
uh-huh.
a British writer who writes about eclectic, odd things.
Uh-huh.
And he was sent to interview Bina 48.
Oh, okay.
And he was talking about, for some reason, when you're dealing with a chatbot or a robot, you find the need to start asking profound questions like, you know, do you have a soul and
right.
what's the meaning of the universe
right, right.
and things you would never ask
a
regular
human
person
being.
If you wanted to make a real connection.
Right. They'd think you're crazy or something or just.
But you're so yeah. desperate to try to find something meaningful in a conversation that can seem either random or very shallow or
yeah.
very scripted.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he interviewed Bina 48. I think years ago,
uh-huh.
maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and he was quite disappointed that he felt like he was getting lots of random responses.
Right. So I guess it wouldn't pass
the Turing test.
Turing test.
The Turing test.
Yeah. I wonder if that Sophia robot or that Bina robot now would pass those tests
yeah.
with certain
Yeah,
people.
Maybe. I mean, certainly other chatbots already have years ago.
Oh, really?
You know, we did a lesson about 1 year ago.
Uh-huh.
Cleverbot, I think.
Oh, that's right.
Was the first to pass the Turing test, and others have.
But I would think it'd be easier to pass the test as a chatbot because it's so low context that it might be hard for you as an examiner to because it's such a low context medium.
Yeah.
That. You could easily be tricked to think that, okay,
yeah,
that's actually
yeah.
a human being.
No, I think yeah. that voice synthesis is not advanced enough to
And especially
fool
the,
someone.
The facial features.
Oh, yeah.
The,
I mean, forget
the,
about
the expressions.
That.
I mean, it just, yeah.
Yeah. Forget about
but
it.
But you've said that you've seen the movie Ex Machina?
No.
Okay. Now, that is a movie that you should see. It's probably one of the best movies out there on AI.
Okay.
And it's a really good story. It's about this guy who's kind of a... You know, he's kind of like one of these multi-billionaire, like Google founder type people who lives out in the middle of nowhere. You have to take a helicopter to get to where he is.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing some secret research, and he brings in this really smart programmer kind of young guy
uh-huh.
to do a Turing test on the AI that he's created.
Okay.
And it's a woman. And I'm not going to tell you all the...
Oh, this is an actual robot. It's not like
a
chatbot.
It's a robot that he created. and he wants this very smart young guy that came in to do a series of interviews with her to see if she would pass the Turing test. And he ends up falling in love with this robot. It's really powerful, really well done. And I won't tell you what happens, but it's a cool movie. It's a cool movie. And I could see, like, if you, the computer graphics or the special effects nowadays are very advanced, obviously. And it really brought this robot to life. Like, you even though you could see right through, it's definitely a robot. You can see right through it in certain areas to the other side.
Right.
And, but it appears so real that you could easily think that that is a, you know, its own being.
Uh-huh.
And highly intelligent kind of thing.
Cool. Check it out.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
And the last story was the tragic first emperor of China.
Oh, right.
Story so I did not know.
This wanting to live forever.
Yeah, and he ended up...
is a very human thing, right?
Yeah.
It's just been around forever.
Yeah, and...
some people don't want to die.
And sometimes it can be our downfall.
Yeah, in his case, he ate... He consumed mercury, which is, we know today is a highly toxic substance. I wonder what led him to believe that that would... I mean, you'd think you would just test that on another animal before you ate it.
I think mercury was used in the Middle Ages in Europe for alchemists trying to turn different metals into gold. Would use, or maybe they would use it for to gold plate things.
I see.
And apparently the fumes would drive them mad.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's the origin behind the expression Mad Hatter. Yeah, I think something to do with hats involved mercury.
Okay.
In the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
And, you know, we call a crazy person a Mad Hatter.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, so, I mean, even a millennia later, people were dying or going mad from playing around with mercury.
Uh-huh.
And this was far before that. I think it was, 200 BC?
I don't remember the dates, but it was a long time ago. And but it could be seen as a metaphor for, you know, what we might be eating the mercury right now.
Right. By making these sentient machines that are going to be eating us.
And Elon Musk is, you know, he's most concerned about the danger of what we might unleash.
Yeah.
So this could be our mercury.
Right. All right, stay safe out there.
Okay, no, don't eat mercury.
All right, can do, Campbell.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.